a dark room, and there's a switch on the wall, and you've paid your power bill. The power bill's been paid. We don't call MedEd and be like, hey, MedEd, can you get out here and turn the light on? That's ridiculous, right? We would call that kind of ignorant, lazy, you know, whatever. It is our job, if the power has been supplied and paid for, to flip the switch and turn the light on, right? So this concept of the whole fact that Jesus is the light of the world, and when we have given our lives to him, the light is inside us. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine, not just on social media, but like in your life, in action, every single day. And we have to change how we pray. And we need to change how we interact in the world. Remembering, if the world's gone dark, it's because we haven't acted and flipped the switch of the light on inside of us, right? So, you know, I'm teaching on the authority of a believer, and this is a very foundational teaching, right, when you've grown up in church. But sometimes we so spiritualize something, we only think about turning the light on, you know, inside the church. But there is prayer, and there is faith, but faith without prayer. Okay, wait, when I say works without prayer, faith without prayer. So you have to pray. Faith without works is dead. You have to do something. So I want you to get that down. God has given us spiritual authority, right? And he has commanded us, not suggested, not hint, hint, wink, wink. He actually commanded you to use that authority, to be the light in the world, to be Jesus Christ, to go pray. And you know, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I like it in the Amplified, says this, and Jesus is talking. So when Jesus is talking, Pastor D's doing a red letter. You know, when Jesus talks, you better extra listen, right? So Jesus says, listen carefully. He's talking to a disciple. So you're a disciple if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. How many people have given your life to Jesus and are choosing to follow him to the best of the ability, and God has given you supernatural grace empowerment where your inability is, his ability kicks in, right? So how many followers of Jesus Christ, right? Okay. Listen carefully. I have given you authority and power that you now possess to trample on serpents and scorpions, and the physical and mental strength and ability to exercise that authority. So how many people, I have a total of 4 weights in my house, very low, light weights. I will not even tell you how light they are because it's embarrassing, but I have 4 weights in my house. You know what they do in my house? They keep my doors open when I have my windows open and the breeze comes through. That is pretty much, can't tell you the last time I lifted one of them. So you could have a set of weights. How many people got remember Bowflex? Like a long time ago and all the infomercials, there's the big sets. Anybody got weight sets in their house? Or how about the DVDs? I got this guy named Leandro that I occasionally work out with on my TV. You know, and he does embarrassing dance moves, so I forget I'm working out. And, you know, how many people got a lot of dust on that kind of stuff? Because we're not exercising with the tools that he's given us, right? So when you read this, it says, I've given you authority, I've given you power, I've given you physical strength, mental strength, to exercise. That means you actually have to use it. And not just one time. I tried it. It didn't work. I prayed one time for healing for someone in my family and it didn't work. And they've been rubbing it in my face ever since. Well, I'm like, no, you're just letting Satan rub it into your face ever since, right? You got to exercise repeatedly, right? Because there's these stories in the gospel. The moment we pray, God starts moving. It just may take a little bit for you to see the results. The moment you start praying, so you know, if you have a cold and you go to the doctor and they give you a Z-Pak or something like that, the moment you take that, things start moving, but it might not be, 3 days until some of those symptoms start showing, but cells are moving, things are moving in your body, you just can't physically see it, right? So you have to exercise. It says you have the ability. Ability means you can, but the question, are we? You have the ability to exercise authority over all, everybody say, all. I don't see any exceptions in the word of God. So in natural circumstances in our life, in our business, in our finances, in our social circumstances, in our relationships, in our family, in our neighborhood, within the school district, praise God, God is moving in our school district through you, through the power of prayer. Over all the power that the enemy has. Satan does have power, right? But authority always trumps power. Stick with me. I probably got 3 more messages on that one, so it'll be fun. says Satan possesses, and nothing will in any way harm you. How many of you are tired of being manipulated by fear? Fear gets you to react instead of respond in peace, love, joy, and authority that we've been given. So when you get a medical report, fear comes at you, hits you in the face. And man, if you go on like WebMD, you know, you start searching and like, man, you know, how many people know people that every symptom they're on WebMD and next thing you know, they're like dying of something they can't pronounce and they're telling everybody, they're calling everybody. And like, you have a friend that is probably a veterinarian and they're like, I got this mole back here. And like, look at, I mean, just people go nuts. They go nuts. So, it's true. So let's not be manipulated by fear. Facts are subject to change, right? And if you watch the media, man, they're changing all the time. Turn off the media, open up your Bible, okay? Do educate yourself. Listen, don't be ignorant. You should educate yourself about what's going on in the world. Check your sources. Don't be manipulated. All right. Because it says here in the Word, when we exercise our power and authority in faith, faith is seeing, despite the circumstances, that you're protected. You know, there was a movie that came out a long time ago. I didn't even watch it, but it's like Bubble Boy. And they kind of make fun of people in their corona protection suits, like we're walking around like Bubble Boy. But you need to see God's Holy Spirit surrounding you, wrapping himself around you. That's our protection. What is our protection? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. But you must see that in faith. And it says nothing will in any way harm you. Gossip and slander will not harm you. Isaiah 54, I read this over my life and over our church and ministry. There's so many good promises in Isaiah 54, but it says no weapon formed against you, your family, this nation will prosper. And it'll be shown to be bananas, crazy talk. So if someone's gossiping about you at work, because you know this is how politics work at work, they start like slandering you, saying you're not doing a good job, start kind of talking about you at the water cooler, and you go, do you need to go defend yourself? Do you need to put a social media post about gossip? No, what do? Know who you are, pray, respond in love, respond in truth. God is our defender. Amen? Nothing will in any way harm you. They talk bad about Jesus all the time. You know, there were plagues going on all the time in the Bible. It talks about plagues all the time. There is nothing new under the sun, but it's how we respond in God. Because it says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And it says, nothing will in any way harm you, but you got to dust off the weights. You got to dust off your exercise equipment and you have to exercise, act on, and use everything God has given you, right? So today we're going to talk about the keys to the kingdom. And there's a couple keys in the Bible. We're going to talk about keys because I want to remind you that you have authority. Authority is the right to command. God has given us power and authority. That's what he said. We have a right to command sickness, disease, viruses to go in the name of Jesus. You're not going to mess with my kids when I send them to school. You have the right to command gossip and slander, accusation, the slimy stuff out there. To be unmasked is like total lies in the name of Jesus, right? The right to command. And this was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross 2,000 years ago. Because remember, Jesus already paid the power bill. You don't have to do anything to deserve what he's already given you. Because that's why it's called free. Otherwise, we'd just be working for the Savior all the time. And that's the curse of the law. Jesus died to set us free from having to work so hard so God can move in your life. The only thing we're required is to receive him and exercise our faith, which is seeing God moving in my life according to his word. And you're going to have to say something, by the way, not just post something. You're going to have to say something. You hear me on that. All right. So I want to go where I want to go. So this is kind of like my kind of review. All right. It's time to turn the switch on, right? Time to turn the switch on. So Matthew 10 verse 1 in the Amplified says, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority and power over unclean spirits to drive them out, to drive out darkness, right? Spiritual influence. To cure and heal all, every kind of disease and all and every kind of weaknesses and infirmities. So if you wake up with some symptoms that, you know, say allergies or the common cold, or you got a funky mole, or, you know, you got something that this is like, you ever have, maybe you have some things in your family tree, and maybe your hands start shaking and you're thinking, oh, Parkinson's, da, da, da. Well, Jesus paid the price 2,000 years ago and he blood washed your whole family tree. Amen. Every single one. Every kind of disease, weakness, and infirmity. Corona, the common cold, flu, Parkinson's, cancer, insomnia, depression, anxiety, the list goes on and on and on. And you got to have the same faith for the common cold as you do for cancer. You got to exercise. I have a 5 pound, I have a 5 pound weight. It's embarrassing. You men are like, I don't know, whatever. But you know, I'm not trying to look like, you know. You got 2 pound weight. See, okay. Everybody got the lightweights, right? I do have a 10 pounder, which feels heavy to me. But you know, the more you exercise the light weights, you build muscle strength to lift the heavier ones. You got to start somewhere. Exercise your faith for allergies ahead of time. Exercise your faith for the common cold. My kids aren't getting the cold this year in Jesus' name. You know, we're not going to have the crusty snot face, you know, okay? Because if you don't exercise it, or I'm like a nose itcher. If you don't exercise your faith for the small stuff, are you going to have the weight carrying capacity, the exercise for the big ones? You know why some people are so panicked right now? It's because they haven't been exercising their faith for the small stuff. You know, you need to use wisdom, right? You need to use wisdom. All right, I could laugh, but I'm going to get back on track here. So many thoughts going through my brain, and I'm not going to get myself in trouble. All right, so when we exercise authority over demons, so if someone's being a jerk to you, that's a Christian word, right? You're being a jerk, okay? Do I pray against that person? I pray against the spirits influencing that person. Jesus loves that person. I don't bind that person. Jesus set that person free 2,000 years ago. Change how you pray for our political leaders. They're Satan incarnate. I can see the smoke coming out of them and the little horns. It's the Antichrist. Okay, come on, y'all. Jesus died for them. They were a little baby that was born, and I don't know, whatever circumstances, I don't know who hurt them. I don't know who lied to them. I don't know what political agenda was shoved down their throat, and they started believing the way they do. Jesus loves them, died for them, and set them free. So if you're praying against someone, you are unbiblical. And those are powerless prayers. You pray against the spirit influencing that person. Because they're just blindfolded. The Bible says this in, it's like in 2 Corinthians. I got a note. We'll read it later. Yeah. Where it says that Satan is the god of this world and he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Did you know also he blinds Christians that willingly believe the baloney? So you don't pray against the person. The Bible says, bless your enemies. Bless those people that don't believe like you do. Bless people that are making your life very hard and complicated, that are making business very hard right now. You are to bless them. Watch your words. We got to represent Christ, right? And if you're digging for ways to bless them, bless their marriage, bless their kids, bless their health. If you're praying to they just hope they die and somebody takes their office, that is unbiblical. That is wrong. That is evil. That's satanic. You better watch who you're aligning yourself with your methods. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm trying to destroy their life. Jesus came to set them free and bless them, right? Okay, moving on. All right, so I really want to pick up. Here's where I'm picking up. That was my review. Okay. All right, so... So what's the problem here? Christians, the church, is in a major identity crisis. An identity crisis is you forget who you really are and you think you're something else, right? So Satan has blinded church people, Christians, to think they are powerless victims of their circumstances. I just got to ride out the storm. I am just going to, you know, dig a hole in my backyard and create a bomb shelter and fill it with cornflakes for the next 10 years and hoard all of the toilet paper and all the macaroni and cheese. I was at the store one time with Brad and this lady's like, you should have seen this guy came in here and he took 30 boxes of macaroni and cheese. Our children will starve. And it was just like ridiculous, the hoarding going on with Corona. It was ridiculous. So an identity crisis because they have forgotten who they are. When we're reacting in fear and panic and anxiety and all we're talking about is the doom and gloom. Whose team are we promoting? You're like cheering for the enemy. Like as you go to football, I graduated from Spring Grove. Okay. Who's probably an arch rival of Spring Grove in football? Okay. It's been a long time. What's it, Central? Oh, I got a Central player out there. I can't. Who, give me another one. Southwestern. Yeah, I don't have any Southwestern students in their house. Anybody? Okay, good. All right. So it'd be like going to your football game and sitting on the opposite side and cheering for the enemy. That's what happens when all you do is glorify darkness and fear and what if and that and blah, 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 and keep repeating the last post and sharing the last ridiculous, crazy conspiracy theory on the internet. Please start sharing some scripture at least. We have forgotten who we really are. We are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We're the embodiment of Jesus Christ on the earth. We are the King's kids. We are called to rule and reign in life. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. We need to remember who Jesus is, and then you'll remember who you are in him. There's a really good mini book. It's called In Him by Kenneth Hagin. It's fantastic. And you could just read a little page a day and just pray those things. So good. All right. So why are there so many Christians that are slow to step up in their spiritual authority? And our little 2-pound, 5-pound weights are collecting dust. why are there so many Christians that are just slow to step up? You know, when someone says, hey, I got this thing going on, there's this doctor's report that hit and you go, oh, I'll pray for you. I'll text a reminder to myself. Would you just stop where you are and pray for them? Real easy. You know, and now we're afraid to like touch people. We're afraid to interact. We're afraid. So, you know, whatever. Use wisdom. Don't override wisdom. Don't override your peace. You follow me? Jesus ran out to meet the leper and touched him. That was where Jesus' power and authority and faith levels at. But I challenge you, got to get out of fear. Okay? It's very interesting what Satan has kind of done in manipulating circumstances. When we're slow to step up in our spiritual authority and we've forgotten who we are, we end up whining and complaining and making excuses and screaming how the church is under attack. I'm under attack. Everybody's under attack. Satan hates everybody. It's not personal. You know, our nation's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, if you keep talking like that, you're cursing our nation. We got to live here. You know, like will you start blessing it? There are power to your words. We have bought the lie that we're powerless victims. We need to stop calling everybody ranting and raving in fear, right? All right, so let me put it this way. The devil's only power over Christians is to lie to them. Over Christians. Because we're the King's kids, right? He does have power. But we have power and authority in Christ Jesus. His number one weapon, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not flesh and blood, is to lie to you. And to convince you that he has greater authority in your life, in your family, in this nation, in your county than you do, in your school. The number one tool is deception. He is a liar and the father of lies. That's what it says in the Bible. John 8:44. And he likes to manipulate circumstances like smoke and mirrors to get you to think he is so much more powerful and has way more authority in your life than you do. You ever been to the fun house? You go in like the little creepy fun house and it's all the smoke and mirrors. It's not literally, I always get creeped out. I'm like, I'm good. I'd rather spend $10 on funnel cake. Anybody else? Like, yo, do I want to get creeped out in your little hell house, your fun house with smoke and mirrors and little Satan? No, I'll eat the funnel cake. I'm good. Thanks. All right. So do you guys remember the Wizard of Oz? We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Okay. So everybody talks about the wizard and he's so great and so powerful. Remember, they're in Oz. Oh, he's so great. The great, powerful wizard. And what they go to finally meet the wizard and it's all the smoke and the mirrors and the loud sounds. And then little Toto, the little dog, rips the veil. He's just like a little guy. He's just this like little guy with his smoke and the mirrors manipulating circumstances so he appears big and powerful. And to get Dorothy out of Oz. Satan's doing the same thing to you. Something to think about. So the 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, that Satan is the god of this world and he has blinded minds. So it's blinders. It's lies. But we have to remember, who is Satan? You can go back and read about it. And Genesis talks about him in Isaiah as well. He is just an unemployed cherub. Unemployed. Got kicked out of heaven. Okay, it's a long story. I don't have time to go into it. And he is really, really jealous of you because you've been made in the image of God. And you've given power and dominion as Jesus' sons. Well, it's your brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ, but the sons and daughters of God, right? And so he just comes after you. Ever had someone at work or at school, how about the mean girls in high school, that they just were jealous of you? They didn't like that maybe you had peace in your life. Maybe that you had peace in your home. Maybe that, maybe you were good at academics, but there's something they were jealous. They didn't like about you. So they tried to tear you apart through gossip and lies. Lies. The only power, how many people were severely bullied? Okay. How many people had kids severely bullied? It makes high school like hell, you know, but it's all lies. There's no truth to it. But if you react to it and you let it affect you and you let it affect your identity, it'll destroy your life. And that's what Satan's trying to do. So Satan's an unemployed cherub who is jealous of you and he's trying to destroy your life. So, but Jesus says, well the Lord says this. Let me see where I want to go. I'm like off my notes a little bit. He's a sore loser. You want to know how the story ends? Read Revelations. It does not end well for him. Ends great for us, right? All right. So, Jesus already defeated the enemy at the cross 2,000 years ago. Colossians 2:15, it says that Jesus, having disarmed, stripped the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them at the cross. How many people love reading about the world wars, World War I and World War II? It's really fascinating, and I've talked about it in past messages, how the Nazis rose to power. And it was all about manipulating things in politics and blaming people and slowly, slowly taking rights away and slowly locking up, destroying and killing people that were speaking up, right? And it was really horrific what was going on, especially in Europe at that time. Because when the Nazis came in, I mean, they didn't just kill you. I mean, they stripped you of your dignity, of your identity. I mean, they shaved your head. They starved you. I don't even want to get too graphic of what they did to your loved ones, but horrific things, the worst thing you could ever do, and killed you slowly. And there wasn't a person in Europe that didn't know someone that died a horrific death. I don't know how many people have lost someone through disease. A horrific accident. Satan stole. Satan killed. Satan destroyed. Satan slowly ate their body alive. That was not my God, and I would not serve a God that did that. Satan did that. But something happened when the war was won. So they took all the Nazi leaders that did those horrors to human beings and march them through the streets to a public trial. There was something about the rallying of the saints, the rallying of the overcomers. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. But yeah, there were losses along the way. I've had some tremendous losses in my life. But the battle was won 2,000 years ago. And we have to rest in the finished work of the cross. And we have to remember that cancer got walked through the streets. You are defeated. Coronavirus. Bankruptcy. Whatever Satan stole from you, because the towns rallied. They took to the streets. They were cheering as the enemy was walked through the town square to their public trial where they got what they deserved for all that they had done. God's justice sometimes takes time, doesn't it? But you need to remember that it is defeated. I like a different translation. I think it was the Message Bible. It says, let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners when Jesus celebrated his victory. That's what Jesus did. So why are there so many weak sauce Christians out there? Run around screaming like they're chicken, like a chicken with their head cut off. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The world is ending. I remember Y2K. It was ending back then too. Some people are still eating their bins of rice. Anyone? Okay. I lived in Oklahoma for 11 years and, I went out to Oklahoma thinking my dad ate hot sauce. He liked it. You know, he'd just sit there and sweat. He just liked the endorphins would kick in. Like he'd go visit some place and he'd go to the hot sauce section and want to get a local hot sauce. I learned in Oklahoma because all my roommates were Texans. I learned to like spicy things. I like hot sauce with a little kick. Anybody else like a little, my pop would always have Tabasco on his eggs, right, Uncle Jim? Like he'd always like, so I learned to love, I love Tabasco on my eggs. Anybody else? Eggs kind of taste a little bland without a little kick to them, right? So why are there so many weak sauce Christians out there? They kind of lost their kick. They have a problem recognizing their authority in Christ Jesus because they're in an identity crisis. It is a lack of revelation that when we are united with Jesus Christ, our identity changes and our power and authority, he transfers that to us, right? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Everybody say, it is no longer I who live. Now say, but Jesus lives in me. It is a life for life exchange. How many people were so excited to trade up? Yeah. I traded up. Okay. I've been in some rough places in my life. And it says, and the life that I now live, not the past, not even me 2 hours ago, this moment right now, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't care what your past says you are. Jesus says you are free, perfect, set free, pure, lovely, powerful, and a world changer. But if you don't read your Bible, pray every day, you're going to forget it. And you'll slip that blindfold back on and you'll be haunted by your past and what people are still posting about you on social media and what your mother-in-law won't let you forget. And the neighborhood people, whatever. Come on, we've all been through it. The nasty stuff is just a blindfold. It's a lie. It says, but I now live this new life in Christ by faith. Faith is seeing something that is not as though it is. Protected, healed, whole, restored, loved with purpose. Because he loved me and he gave himself for me. So if he gave his life for you to have a new life and you're so stuck in your old life, he died in vain. When we don't walk in the new identity he gave us, if we don't forget our past, because it was already purchased 2,000 years ago at the cross, if you don't let the people around you forget the past, and how many people struggle with that as well, myself included, it's human nature to hold people's faults against them, to hold hurts against them, right? Love keeps no account. I have to work on erasing the account. Delete, 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 delete. It's a life for life exchange. We were joined with Jesus on the cross, I died with him. Thank God my old life died. Whew. And I was raised with him to a new life by faith. You have to see yourself in the light of his eyes, how he sees you. And you're going to have to remind yourself every day because the world will be happy to remind you of your past. Satan loves to remind you of your past. But that was all washed out in the blood 2,000 years ago. Every victory that Jesus won was at the cross 2,000 years ago. Healing, peace, provision, freedom from addiction, depression. Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And we sit next to him is what the Bible says. And we have authority through our union with him, Jesus Christ, on earth. Ephesians 1:19-22. Says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any rule or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. God has put all things, everybody say all things, under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. He's the head, we're the body. He gave us power and authority. Why am I spending so much time on this? Because we are talking and acting like we are victims. And we're hiding in fear. And we're complaining and ranting. And some people, like, to feel powerful, they choose anger. That's not biblical. You can be angry at injustice. Absolutely, you should be. God is a God of justice. You should be angry. It's killing, stealing, destroying, abuse, murder, all those horrific things. You should be angry about that, right? But how I respond is different. A lot of people are trying to feel powerful by getting angry and working themselves and getting in rage, and it actually has turned to violence. Matthew 16, 18 through 19, it says this. It says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. God has given you keys. I have lots. I look like a janitor sometimes. A lot of doors in this church. So the Lord God has given you keys to the kingdom. What are you releasing around you? Are you releasing hope? Are you releasing faith, love, joy, peace, healing power? Are you praying for healing? Are you releasing a prophetic word of encouragement where I will strengthen, encourage, comfort, exhort, remind people who they really are? Or are you releasing through your mouth more fear, more torment, more gossip, more slander, more anger, more rage, more frustration? Whose team are we cheering for? He's given us the keys. It's what you do with them. We got to remember what team we're on. So he has given us the authority key he paid for with his life. So I would like to know what your dream car is. Anyone? Shout it out. I want a powerful dream car. Ferrari. We'll take it. That sounds good. So guess what? In this huge thing of keys is a key to a brand new Ferrari. Brand spanking new. And these keys got given. Who wants it? Who wants the brand spanking new Ferrari? Right? So the keys, I'm going to give them right here. They're yours. They're your keys. People are afraid to touch stuff now. It's funny. The keys are yours. Let's just say I give, who wants it? Let's see. I'm going to give Hannah. Hannah, I'm just picking on you right now. I'm giving Hannah. Hannah's a college student, so like a brand new Ferrari sounds great. You can even sell it and pay off all your college. It'd be great, right? All right, so if I gave the keys to the brand new Ferrari to Hannah Johnson, and she tells everybody, I got keys to it. I got a brand new car. I got a brand new Ferrari. What color is it? What color do you want it? Silver. I like that. Like a silver bullet. Okay. So a silver Ferrari, and it's yours, and you tell everybody about it. You post pictures about it. You post a million pictures with your Ferrari. You're eating your burger with a Ferrari. Like, I'm with a Ferrari. But everywhere I see Hannah, she's walking around town. I roll down my window. I'm driving my Jeep. Hey, Hannah, what's up? You all good? I'm just heading to Walmart. Got to pick up some stuff. What's good? Didn't we give you like keys to a brand new Ferrari? Oh yeah, it's awesome. I love it. It's so good. I talk about it all the time. Here's a picture. But unless you put the keys in the ignition and turn it, get in the car, put a little gas to it, faith, it ain't going nowhere. And this is where we're at in the church. We talk a good talk. Shoot, we preach. I'm trying to get people to pray out loud. Oh God. And when they do, I hope, oh, please, Lord, just Jesus, help us, save us. Oh, Lord, protect us. Jesus said, I gave you the keys to the kingdom. It's yours. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. When you go study this out in the original like Greek, it's not hell coming at you. It's you coming at hell and storming the castle and breaking down the gate. We talk a big talk, but how are we responding to everything going on around us? Oh God, save me, save my family, save my business, save my car. It's like, I have given you the keys to the kingdom. When are you going to start using it? And yes, you need to pray. And yes, you need to pray out loud. Come on. And you need to pray in the name of Jesus, and you need to pray in faith. But faith without works is, he will ask you, I guarantee it, to do something. And it may call someone up, maybe pray with someone. It may be start a neighborhood something. It may be barbecue. It may be run for local office. It may be actually call the principal and say, hey, how can I help the at-risk teens in my high school? It may be, you know, like maybe you aren't able to foster kids, but maybe you can do respite. You know, get your background checks done so you can give a family break so they can go on vacation. You just love on those kids and tell them who they are in Christ Jesus. There are things we can do. You know, there are things like we have businesses, but our businesses can go sponsor what God's trying to do in our area too, right? And we pray and we pray and we pray, but we must do something. And we have to vote. And if you're a Christian that doesn't vote, I don't even have words I can say. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. What are you going to do with it? We have authority and power in the name of Jesus. So we pray to Father God in the name of Jesus. It says, Jesus says, I am the door, right? That's what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the door and I'm the only door. Can I tell you this? Why do you need to read your Bible and promote reading your Bible with your kids and your family and your teenagers? And you can't make people have faith, but you can demonstrate faith in front of them. Take every opportunity to grab your kids' hands and pray. Why? Because kids and teens that stop reading their Bible, I give them about 5 years, and suddenly Jesus is not the only way. I hate those coexist little bumper stickers. I hate them. Jesus didn't come against people, right? He came against the lies affecting to them. Listen, I love people of other religions. Sometimes they do life better than Christians do. But the dangerous thing, and we are to live peacefully and pray for peace, but we're also to preach Jesus. And I'll tell you what, when you operate in the power of God in a prophetic word or in healing, go pray for a Muslim that they got something going on in their body. You go pray for them. In the name of Jesus, who they believe is a prophet, but we know is the Son of God. And watch a manifestation of healing power happen in their life. Or watch God like do something in their kid's life or whatever. And all of a sudden, the one true God just came down in the flesh. And you got someone's attention. But if you don't read your Bible, let me tell you what happens. There's this thing called Christian universalism. It's not Christian. But most people that are raised in church that stop reading their Bible, they become one. And that says Jesus is not the only way. There are many roads to God, many other religions, da, 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 da. Truth? How many people know what I'm talking about here? I beg of you, read the Bible. Read it around your kids. You can't make them grow, but you can demonstrate a white hot faith gospel. You go pray for people. Because it says here that Jesus is the door to the Father. And when we pray in his name, in faith, it is the key. And we have access to all of God's promises. Protection, healing, provision, favor, strength. What is the point of having keys if you don't use them? The Ferrari is collecting dust. You can say you believe that Jesus can heal, but you don't pray like he will. Well, I've been wearing the same black dress to funerals since 2002. My experience does not define my doctrine. Jesus is still the healer. I've seen many miracles, though, too. I've seen divine miracles. Oh my goodness. But if all I do is focus on getting that stupid little black dress out of my closet again, it's going to steal my faith and rob me blind. And I'm going to let that little Ferrari collect dust. Take every opportunity to pray in faith. And if you don't have faith, build your faith. I tell people all the time, listen, I've lost loved ones to disease. I hate cancer. Hate it. Pray against it all the time, right? Doctors are on team God, by the way. Go to doctors. They want the same thing as you. They are on team God. But you got to build your faith. I tell people all the time, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and watch how Jesus healed. If you got mental illness going on in a loved one, family, or friend, you know what? Go read the Gospels and watch how Jesus set people free that are under torment in their mind. You got to build faith. I had to actually dig for testimonies when certain things were going on in my life or family or symptoms. And I had to look for testimonies in the Word of God and also look for people that have been healed from those things, set free. Because it builds your faith. Jesus is the door, and his name in faith opens the door. You got to turn the key. But we cannot afford to forget our delegated authority and power in the name of Jesus. We have to remember who we really are, because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. The Bible says this, we'll probably talk about it later, but we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Ambassadors have diplomatic immunity to the laws of another land. So if you get pulled over by a police officer because you're five over, you whip out your little ambassador card and they can't lock you up. Jesus set us free from the curse of the law 2,000 years ago, and we are his representatives of another kingdom. Is there sickness, disease, and fear in heaven? Is there depression and anxiety in heaven? Then don't claim it as yours. Don't talk about my cancer, my anxiety, my depression. Facts are subject to change. You know, you got to acknowledge what's there so we can pray against it. You know, I'm not telling a lie. Everything, how you doing? Bless God, glory together, shaking around ever, just perfect, just awesome. You know, be real. We're not liars. Okay? But it's not mine. I've been set free from it. I'm in the process of walking that healing out. Those symptoms, those facts are subject to change. Okay? So we are overcomers. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are the light of the world. And when you know who you really are, you'll know what to do. You will act. It's time to dig deep in the Word of God. Read the Word over you. Tell you, if you want to join with me in the book of Ephesians this month, read the book of Ephesians out loud and you put your name in it. God has given me a spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and revelation. Pray it over people in your life. God, I think you've given my daughter a revelation of the length, the width, the height, and the depth of your great love for her and how precious she is. Lord, I thank you. You fill my family all in all. Nothing is broken. Nothing is missing. We rest in you. And all of a sudden you start doing that. You just kind of feel like a strengthening in your gut. We got this. Lord, you did this. We got this together, right? And then we rejoice when we face battles because the battle was already won. The battle was already won 2,000 years ago. So Luke chapter 10, 17 through 19 says, rejoice when we face battles. Because we always win with the Lord, right? So Luke chapter 10, 17 through 19, the context is this, is Jesus had just taught them everything they could possibly teach. So we go to church and we learn and we learn and we learn and we learn. And now Jesus kicks their back out of the nest and says, now I want you to go do something with it. I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to build up your spiritual muscles. He sends them out two by two. Why? Because how many people? Batman had Robin. Laurel had Hardy. I don't know. Like who's some good like partner up teams here? We got Liz has Jim. Jim has Liz. That's a power team right there. Right? We got like Emily and like Chris, you know, like we got friends here. Man, Chad and Lane. That's a dynamic duo of friendship. He sent them out two by two. Have friends. I got Sherry and Keith. I got Rachel and Sherry. Oh, we got like a lot of power teams there. You know, Paul had Barnabas. Paul had Silas. Peter, James, and John, they had relationships. I got Stacy Clark right there. I'm in covenant with my friend. We have bad days. We call each other. We pray. He sent them out two by two so they can encourage each other and have each other's back. And they could exercise what they've been taught. And here's what he said. Luke 10, 17 through 19 says, the 70 disciples returned with joy, and they're flipping out. And they're saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Even the demons that are influencing people with lies and slander and ridiculousness and sickness and disease are subject to us in your name. Because he gave you power and authority to exercise, command sickness and disease to go, demonic oppression, depression, anxiety, torment, insomnia to go in the name of Jesus. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. He said, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all of the power of the enemy of Satan. And nothing will anyway harm you. When we stand up in the authority of Jesus Christ, his name in faith, how does faith build? Through exercise, right? How does faith build? Through closeness of relationship with him. I'm close with Jesus. Jesus, I walk intimately with him because I talk to him throughout my day. How many people are texters? You text that best friend all day long. Funny thing happened. This happened. That happened. You send a little meme or whatever. You know, your significant other. We text each other all day long. Yeah, Brad and I text each other. We just text each other. Why? Because it keeps the relationship close. And mindfulness. So when we spend time with Jesus in his word and we're talking to him throughout the day, it builds that strength knowing he's got my back. And when I call on his name, boom, he's there in a second. In a second, he's right beside you. When we use the name of Jesus in faith, exercising our faith through our closeness of walking with him every day. And when opportunities come, we take action to use our authority, the right to command his name and him jump on the scene. He's the healer, but he'll move through your words when they line up with his word. By the way, if you don't take God's word seriously, Satan isn't going to take your word seriously. If you don't take God's word seriously in your life, we got to build our faith. But faith grows through what? Exercise and intimacy with God, spending time with him, talking to him, bringing him on the scene. On that thought, okay, so what are we going to do here? I got so much to tell you. So listen, I want to talk about God's government, God's kingdom on earth. That'll be my next one. And I want you to meditate on Ephesians in the meantime. Here's what I want you to do, because I'm going to talk about more of the keys of the kingdom of God. But you're going to have to build your faith in him through a closeness of relationship. It's time to starfish worshiping God. It's time to celebrate him. It's time to love him. Pray out those prayers over your life. And we're going to exercise the dominion he's given us. Amen. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them, granting them certain authority. And he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subjugate it, putting it under your power. Rule over, dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into your workplace and have a Bible study lunch. Emily started one of those at Assurant. You have rights to go pray and read the word. And you could do it in the break room. You could do it outside on a picnic bench. Go to the PTA meetings. See if you can be an assistant to one of the students. See if you can join in. There's off-campus Christian clubs. Actually, Spring Grove has a phenomenal Christian campus club. And we need to have more of those all across York County. But it will require you not just praying, but you to do something. Know what your rights are. Know what you have access to. Educate yourself. Find out what you can do and then do something. You hear me, church? We are the light. And where the light goes in Walmart, at the gas station, into the public school system, in your place of employment, the darkness has to flee if you start bringing him onto the scene. Amen? Let's stand up. And we're just going to pray. And I just want you just to, we're going to just kind of like do a prayer. We just say, Lord God, search my heart. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for the revelation of your word, of the power and the authority you've given us in the spirit and the rights and privileges that you've given us access to, because we live in the United States of America. We still live in a free country and we have rights and privileges. And Lord, you have given us spiritual authority on top of this. The world is your oyster. And Lord God, I thank you. You are sharing with every person in this room where you are sending them, to who you're sending them, the message of love, joy, peace, healing, encouragement that you've given them. And we will see the darkness flee in Jesus' name. I just want everybody just get quiet. Just no one move. Don't even, I know like the crock pots are getting cold with lunch, but I want you to just take 60 seconds. That feels really long, but I want you to give some space for the Lord to talk to you. God talks to us all in different ways. I'm like I see things like it's like a God imagination. Like the daydream is just like a fuzzy picture rises up in my heart. And I normally just like think of someone. I see their face or a name. You're like, why do I keep thinking about Walmart right now? Walmart's a dark place. He wants you to go there, pick up some, like, I don't know, salad, some burgers, and go talk to people. Talk to them about Jesus. Pray for them. Invite them to church. Maybe you keep thinking of a coworker, and, you know, you haven't seen them. They've been really distant because of COVID, and you just invite them over for a barbecue, and they're, I'm not comfortable. It's like, you know what? How about, can I just, like, pray with you? We'll do a video chat on Fridays. Fridays at, you know, 5:30, I just get home from work and like, let's just take 15 minutes and I want to pray for you and your spouse for restoration in your marriage. Or just like, there's this kid in the neighborhood that you're concerned about influencing with your kid. And you're just contemplating, you know, trying to separate that or maybe not sending them to school. And you keep thinking of this kid. And the Lord's calling you to pray for them and intercede for them, reach out to their parents. You have that kid over for the barbecue and you start sharing Jesus with them. There is faith and there is action, and the Lord is calling you to exercise it. Lord God, I thank you for speaking to us right now. And I thank you, we are quick to hear and quick to obey. We're quick to hear and we're quick to pray. We're quick to hear and we're quick to take action. And Lord God, we give you, Lord, it says the government rests on your shoulders. Lord, the weight of everything going on to the world, we cast that weight on you. We rest in you, but Lord, I thank you. You are moving in this election, Lord God. And we just break off and expose every lie of the enemy, every twisted political agenda, and we release your truth in Jesus' name over our political system and over the media in Jesus' name. I think everything done in darkness politically is brought to light in the name of Jesus. Truth sets us free. And Lord God, I thank you. I thank you. In this election, we are going to see an outcome of a godly president and a godly presidential team in Jesus' name. Someone that is just going to fight for the rights of the church, breathe life and freedom into our country and health and prosperity into our economy, Lord God. And we see this in faith in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to show us what to do. Show us who to vote for. And we just trust you in that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Have a wonderful day and be the light of Jesus wherever you go. Amen.